Good morning. I'm guessing you're all a little bit more awake now after that fire alarm went off. That's good. Ready to worship? That's good. And this beautiful Sunday in Epiphany, this Epiphany season, we've been talking about how Epiphany means to reveal, to shine a light on something. And that light has been shined on us, and we have been called to it, not just to live in that light, but also to share that light with others. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. And this Sunday in Epiphany, you'll see that throughout the readings and everything. We'll also share that light, have that light together as we join in the Lord's Supper together. So if you're a member of this congregation, we ask that you prepare your hearts and minds to receive the body and blood of the Lord. This worship service also will feature our opening hymn 463. We'll sing stanzas 1, 2, and 5. May God bless you this morning as He shines His light on you through His Word. Please stand. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
And also with you.
God invites us to come into His presence and worship Him with humble and penitent hearts. Therefore, let us acknowledge our sinfulness and ask God to forgive us.
Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful, and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil, and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner.
God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given His only Son, Jesus, to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Jesus and by His authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
As the Lord has given us mercy, we now ask for the Lord's mercy throughout our lives. For all that we need in life and for the wisdom to use all your gifts with gratitude and joy, hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the steadfast assurance that nothing can separate us from your love and for the courage to stand firm against the assaults of Satan and every evil, hear our prayer, O Christ. For the well-being of your holy church in all the world, and for those who offer here their worship and praise, hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Merciful God, maker and preserver of life, uphold us by your power and keep us in your tender care. The works of the Lord are great and they are glorious. His name is worthy of praise.
The Lord is great in all the earth.
pray to the Lord. Almighty God, you sent your Son to proclaim your kingdom and to teach with authority. Anoint us with the power of your Spirit that we too may bring good news to the afflicted, bind up the brokenhearted, and proclaim liberty to the captive. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. The first lesson for this morning comes from 1 Kings chapter 19. This will also serve as our sermon text for today. The calling of Elisha, 1 Kings 19. So Elijah went from there and found Elisha, son of Shaphat. He was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen, and he himself was driving the 12th pair. Elijah went up to him and threw his cloak around him. Elisha then left his oxen and ran after Elijah. "Let me kiss my father and mother goodbye," he said, "and then I will come with you." "Go back, Elisha," Elijah replied. "What have I done to you?" So Elisha left him and went back. He took his yoke of oxen and slaughtered them. He burned the plowing equipment to cook the meat and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he set out to follow Elijah and became his servant. The word of the Lord. Now we'll have a quartet sing for us, a song called "The Fullness of Grace." You can follow along in the words there on page 7 in your bulletins.
Oh.
We now hear about God giving that gift of love to the world in Acts chapter 13, where he calls a couple of men to go forth with that message to other towns. From Acts chapter 13. Now in the church at Antioch there were prophets and teachers: Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. The two of them, sent on their way by the Holy Spirit, went down to Seleucia and sailed from there to Cyprus. When they arrived at Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the Jewish synagogues. John Mark was with them as their helper. This is the word of the Lord. Our verse of the day talks about Christ's calling to share the word from Matthew 4, verse 23. Alleluia. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching, preaching, and healing every disease. Alleluia. Stand in honor of the words of Jesus. The gospel for this morning comes from Mark chapter 1, verses 14 through 20. Here we see Jesus calling the disciples to be fishers of people. From Mark chapter 1. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord. We now join together in a song that reflects the light of the message that we share, called "O God from God, O Light from Light." You may be seated.
Thank you.
Grace and peace to you from God the Father and from His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The sermon text for today, I already read for you in the first lesson, so I won't reread it again. So let's begin with prayer. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your sacrifice. Amen. You see this thing? You guys know what this is called? Stole. Good, yeah. Wow, that was quick. Well done. Yeah, it's called a stole. It's the sign of the pastoral ministry. So before I was a pastor, when I was a pastoral intern, when I was leading worship and preaching, I looked like this, right, without the stole. But when I was ordained, same for Pastor Colander, we were given the stole and it was put on us. It's a symbol. Some say it's meant to symbolize a yoke. You know what a yoke is? It's when you hook that in a couple of farm animals so that they can pull some equipment, maybe a plow or something. It's meant to reflect also the words of Jesus, where he says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." So the symbol is to be yoked by the Word of God and by Christ and be directed by them. That's the pastoral ministry. There's a yoke in our sermon text today. It's kind of used in the exact opposite sense, though. It actually serves as a barrier of service to God in a way. That kind of yoke you want to get rid of. You don't want that type of yoke. You want to burn that type of yoke. And I don't just say that because the fire alarms went off, all right? You want to burn that type of a yoke. But there is a symbol of service to God in this sermon text. You know what it is? The cloak. Elijah's cloak. That was the symbol of him being a prophet of the Lord. When you wore that cloak, people knew that you were the Lord's spokesman in Israel. He worked through that prophet. And Elijah, I'm sure people knew that name by the time we get to this sermon text, because he had experienced the highs and lows of being a prophet already. He had done some amazing things, but had also faced a lot of difficulties, as prophets tend to face. He had just defeated the prophets of Baal and the false god Baal on Mount Carmel, but then immediately gets persecuted and chased by the evil queen Jezebel. He fled to a mountain, and he was complaining to the Lord, "Oh Lord, I am all alone. Just kill me." But the Lord assures him with a whisper, "You are not alone. In fact, I want you to anoint a successor, someone to take up your cloak, your mantle after you." He wanted Elijah to anoint Elisha. So he left the mountain and goes and finds Elisha in a field. Now for this next part, it would be better to show you than it would be to tell you. So can I get a volunteer from the congregation? You don't have to do anything, don't worry, you just have to stand there. But can I get a volunteer from the congregation to meet me up here? Phoebe, come on up. Bold. Well done. And stand right here. Now when Elijah found Elisha, he was pulling a yoke of oxen. So it probably looked something like this. You can see where the two animals would have their heads in there, and then this would hold the plowing equipment and pull that. Elisha was pulling a yoke of oxen. Don't want to break the ground there. And he was actually pulling the 12th pair. That means that there were 11 servants pulling the other 11 pairs of oxen. That means you learn two things about Elisha right away. First of all, he's probably pretty well off, him and his family, because that's a lot of oxen. That's a lot of field to plow, and that's a lot of servants to plow it. Two, you learn that Elisha doesn't shy away from work. Must actually, in all likelihood, actually like it. Because he could have easily had a servant do that. But there he was. He was plowing the yoke of oxen. You can kind of stand behind there. Elijah finds him. Doesn't do anything. Doesn't say anything. All he does is simply throw his cloak around Elisha. That's all he had to do. He was essentially, you can hold it up on top. He was essentially telling Elisha, this cloak will be yours someday. You will take up my mantle. You will be my successor as a prophet. That's all he had to do. Elisha seems to have known right away what just happened to him. Because he immediately chases after Elijah and he says, let me go home and kiss my father and mother goodbye and then I will come with you. He wanted to show respect to his father and mother, not just disappear like that. Elijah grants his request. Says, go. What have I done to you? Sounds a little funny. But really, Elijah was just wanting Elisha to think about, this service as a prophet is going to be a difficult service. There's going to be a lot of highs and lows. But it is also a calling from God, and therefore a great honor and a privilege. So Elisha, I want you to take that all in. I want you to think about that. What have I done to you, Elisha? All right, you can go back. Sit down. Well done. Thank you. Told you it wasn't much, right? So what does Elisha do next? He goes back to his father and mother with the yoke of oxen. He slaughters the pair of oxen and then uses the yoke and the plowing equipment to burn and cook the meat for his family. What was he doing? He was showing his family his decision. He could have easily had another servant do that. He could have found a different animal, different firewood, but he chose to do that because he was showing his family that he was all in. This represented his old life. This represented his old calling, but now he had a new calling. And he wanted to show his family he was wholeheartedly into that new calling of service to the Lord. Elijah wanted to burn the yoke so that he could live the cloak. You and I have been given a cloak too. It's no coincidence that I had this sitting on the baptismal font. In baptism, you have been given a cloak, a robe of Christ's righteousness. Paul says in Galatians, all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. You have been given a white robe covering you, his perfection. That's why this baptismal font's up here every Sunday, to remind you of that. That's why your pastor wears a white robe, to remind you that you have been washed clean. In baptism and through faith, you have the perfect life of Christ covering you, and your sins have been paid by his sacrifice. That's the cloak that you've been given. And because you've been given that, you've been given a number of other cloaks as well. For some, God has made you a Christian husband and father. For some, God has made you a husband or a Christian wife or mother. He's made you a Christian son, daughter, brother, sister. He's made you a Christian living in what can be a very non-Christian world. Sometimes. And he has made you, he's given you the cloak, the calling that he gave the disciples, like I just read to you in the gospel lesson. He has made you a Christian evangelist. Your cloak is to be a fisher of people as well, to share that light of Christ. Because we have this spiritual cloak covering us, God gives us a lot of other cloaks to live in as well, and we have that honor of living those. Sadly, we tend to go back to those yokes, don't we? Elisha used the yoke as a symbol of that old life, as a barrier of being fully devoted to God. You and I can sometimes choose the yoke over the cloak, too. There can be that barrier to keep us from being fully devoted. As a Christian evangelist, are you always fully devoted to sharing the gospel? As a Christian parent, we focus on the parent part, and that's good. But what about the Christian part? Are we always giving the best example? Are we always giving the best example in words, thoughts, deeds, habits, especially spiritual habits? We focus so much on taking care of our kids physically and mentally, but are we taking care of them spiritually as well? Are we putting an emphasis on that? A lot of times, as a Christian brother, sister, son, daughter, husband, wife, we're supposed to, in part of our calling, give ourselves fully to that calling, as Christ gave himself fully for us, but we sometimes can do half-hearted work in that way, not wholehearted. As a Christian living in a non-Christian world, do you ever just kind of hold on to that Christianity because you know it's your golden ticket to heaven? Like, all right, I want to go to heaven, so I'll be 5% Christian. Okay, 10, 20. All right, 50, 75, 9. I'll be 90% Christian, but this and that sinful part of the world, I don't really want to give that up for you, God. And sometimes it's not sins or bad things in and of themselves. They can be blessings. That yoke of oxen and that plowing equipment was a blessing to Elisha from God. But he decided to give it all up anyway. Am I willing to give up my Sunday morning every week for God? Am I willing to reshuffle my schedule so that God can be a part of my life and the primary focus of my life every day? Am I willing to give up that extra hour on a Sunday morning so that I can go to Bible study, my kids can go to Sunday school? A lot of times we choose the yoke instead of the cloak. And these are just symptoms. I've just mentioned symptoms. These aren't the real underlying issue. Is your real underlying issue that keeps you as a barrier from serving God fully, is it selfishness, laziness, anger, worry, lack of confidence, fear, lack of trust in God, doubt? I don't know that for you, but you do. So what I'm going to have the ushers do next is I'm going to have them pass out to you your yoke. Elisha used the yoke sort of as a symbol of something that might keep him from being fully devoted to God. The ushers are going to hand you out your yoke to each one of you. They're also going to hand out some pens. It's a yoke. It isn't a tongue depressor. It isn't a big popsicle stick. It's your yoke. Take a pen. If you have, you can use the pencils there in your pews. You can use a pen if you have it already. And I want you to write on your yoke. I want you to write, what is your biggest barrier to serving God fully? What is it? What is that real underlying issue? Is it an emotion? Is it a habit? Is it a sin? Is it just a thing? Is it a blessing that you've created that's been a barrier to serving God? What is it for you? You can do more than one if you want, but at least do what you think is the biggest one. No one's going to read this. This is just an honest assessment between you and God. I'm going to give you a second as the ushers pass this out. I want you to write down on your yoke, what is your biggest barrier to serving God wholeheartedly? I'll take a second to do that. You got it written down? Some of you haven't received them yet. It's all right, you'll have a little bit of time. What I want you to do, once you've written it down, very carefully, and kids, if you need your parents to do it, very carefully, I want you to break it. Now the ushers are going to go around, and they're going to collect them in a bucket. We'll pass it around. Toss it in there. No one's going to read it. Don't worry about it. Go ahead and collect them, guys. Maybe start at the front. Give them in the back time. Borrowed the buckets from a member, and they even have an agricultural theme, too, so it kind of fits the context. Thanks, guys. Oh, somebody put a dollar in there. And some pens. I'll take those out, too. You know what I'm going to do with these? I'll give you one guess. I'm going to burn them. I'm going to burn these. Don't worry, I'll follow all of the California state laws as I do. But I'm going to toss them in a fire pit, and I'm going to burn them. Why? Not just because that's what Elisha did. That's what he did. Yeah, that was his barrier of service to God, and he burned it. He got rid of it. I'm going to burn them for you, but it's not a... What was the altar used for in the Old Testament? Burning sacrifices, right? Burning sacrifices to God. It's here to remind us that Christ's mantle, his cloak, did not just include living a perfect life for us. It also included giving up everything he had. He had to give up his heavenly home. He had to give up his every waking moment. He even had to give up his life. And in a way, he faced a burning on a piece of wood, in a sense, as he faced the fire of hell for all the times we sinfully cling to the barriers that we have of service to God. Christ on the cross took away all of those. He burned them up for you. So you wouldn't have to deal with them anymore. This cloak that he's given gives you the power to sacrifice those things for God. You have a new calling. You are made new. May God bless you as you burn the yoke, live the cloak. Amen. Please stand. May the peace of God that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and minds through faith in him. Amen. We'll now join together to confess our faith in the light of the gospel according to the words of the Nicene Creed.
We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
You may be seated as we give to God our offerings. This morning, as part of the prayer of the church, we pray for all of those with health challenges, including David Haugen, Stan Kuhlman, Judy Washburn and her sister-in-law Chris, Larry and Sue Dilgard's son-in-law Ryan. We also pray in thanks for those celebrating anniversaries, including Marty and Jan Puckett celebrating 45 years of marriage, and Dwayne and Melody Carlson celebrating 51 years of marriage. We pray for all of those celebrating birthdays, and we also include a special prayer for Sean and Shay Patrick, who have had a tragedy in the family. We pray the prayer of the church starting on page 10. Excuse me. Gracious God and Father, we praise you for the countless blessings we receive from your hand, the beauties of creation and the bounties of the earth, the joy of life and the pleasure of friendship, the good of work and the gift of rest, the privilege to share happiness and sorrow with one another. Above all, we praise and thank you for your saving word and for your Son's body and blood, which you give us to eat and drink in the sacrament. Through these means of grace, you send the Holy Spirit into our hearts and unite us to Jesus and to the whole Christian church on earth.
Strengthen us through this heavenly food. Increase our trust in Christ and our love for one another.
Great God and Lord, without your continuing help, we easily waver in our faith, lose courage, and grow careless in our watchfulness. The times and days are perilous. Give us strength to face the evils of each day with fresh confidence. Open our lips to speak of your grace, and move us to use the gifts that you give us to share your word of salvation with all people. Protect and prosper the family, the school, the government, and all good institutions that you have established for the benefit of society. Remember in mercy those who are sick and suffering, and bring your healing to troubled homes and lives.
Move us to pray for those in need, and to help them with these times.
Father, we praise you for blessing those celebrating birthdays. Give them a rich measure of your Holy Spirit so they can continue to glorify you in this life in word and deed. We ask that you also continue to be with everyone celebrating a wedding anniversary. Point them always to Christ, who is the perfect example of forgiveness and selfless love. Lord, show the power of your mighty hand and the comfort of your love to those recovering, to those still suffering from illness or injury, or even to those who are suffering from tragedy. Give them the assurance of your grace through Jesus and the strength to withstand their difficulties. Now hear us, Lord, as we bring you our private petitions. Now, eternal God and Father, keep us in the saving faith and so enable us to overcome all things through our Lord Jesus Christ, who also taught us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Please stand for the sacrament. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
Praise to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In love, he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. In the past, he spoke to us through the prophets, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, who is the radiance of his glory. Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and thanks and honor and glory forever and ever.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread.
When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Hear the prayer of your people, O Lord, that the lips which have praised you here may glorify you in the world, that the eyes which have seen the coming of your Son may long for his coming again, and that all who have received in his true body and blood the pledge of your forgiveness may be restored to live a new and holy life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Brothers and sisters, go in peace. Live in harmony with one another. Serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. We'll close with hymn 770. You'll find that in the blue hymnals in front of you. Please note, it'll be stanzas 1 and 3. You may be seated. Good morning. It was a pleasure worshiping with you again this Sunday morning. Please stick around for Sunday school and Bible study. Again, Book of Zechariah in the chapel, Christian decision making here in the sanctuary. Another Bible study starts this evening at 5 p.m. It'll be our Bible information class. If you're interested in taking it as a member, or if you know somebody, or if you just want to get refreshed in anything, it starts tonight, 5 p.m. There's a sign-up sheet in the back. We'll have plenty of binders for you, but if you wanted to sign up, it's in the back there. There will be no Monday worship this week. Pastor's conference is going on in Nevada. A note for all of the, all of those who are in 20s and 30s, there's an opportunity to connect with one another. It'll start February 10th. And it's starting on St. Mark's campus. It will include food and a bonfire. I'll burn those before the bonfire. But anyway, if you are in your 20s or 30s, you're interested in that, please see the note in the weekly update for more. The Impact Youth Group will have Cupcake Wars this Friday at 6 p.m. So Impact Youth Cupcake Wars Friday, 6 p.m. And if you are a father with a daughter and you want to come to the father-daughter banquet, that'll be February 9th at 6 p.m. Again, more information in your weekly update. You'll find a lot more stuff in there too, so please reference that. You can find those in the tables in the back there. But thank you for coming this morning and worshiping your Lord. May God bless you as you continue to burn the yoke, live the cloak in your lives. Please stick around and greet one another.